Welcome to In the Studio. I'm your host, Teresa, and I'm so glad you've joined us for today's conversation. We have a very special show lined up as we welcome two guests who are instrumental in bringing a long-standing ministry to our airwaves. Every weekday morning at 10:30 a.m. here on KBright Radio, we have the privilege of journeying through the scriptures with Pastor David Hocking on Hope for Today. I'm so honored to have his son, Matt Hocking, and longtime announcer Jim Durbin joining us today. Gentlemen, thank you for sharing your time and your hearts with us today.
Thank you for having us.
What a blessing it is to be here at KBRT. And we were talking earlier, if I can, real quick here, before we came on the air, about the joy that it is for Matt and I and Hope for Today to be co-ministering with the folks at KBRT. Mm. You have such a heart for the Lord, and that's a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Will one of you lead us in prayer before we get started?
Sure. Dear Lord, I ask that you would bless this time that we spend, Father, just really worshiping you, Father. That's what it's all about. And I pray that we would glorify your name in all that's said, and that you would just be honored, Father. In your holy name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Knowing that your father, David Hocking, pastored for many years, I still want to ask you how you came to know Jesus.
Me personally?
Yes.
Okay, well, Sunday school, probably I was 5 or 6 years old, I'd say. And I remember hearing my Sunday school teacher talking about what hell was going to be like. I was like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. No, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. And I accepted the Lord. Well, it was funny because a few years later, it was A Thief in the Night and A Distant Thunder. Remember those movies where they used to play as a kid? I don't know why they played them, but I get, you know, seeing a guillotine coming down on, on a girl. Yeah, and it scared me so bad. And I remember, because we were in a brethren church, and you don't get a whole lot of that eternal security thing, you know, especially back then, it was a lot of hell, fire, and brimstone. Mm-hmm. So I would sit out beside my parents, you know, door every night for like 4 hours a night, just thinking I heard a trumpet happen, thinking I heard something happen, thinking I heard, you know. And then I get so tired that I fall asleep every night for like years. And what was funny is that at the end of it all, you know, you realize how faithful the Lord was. And it was the fear, kind of almost that, you know, you always hear your dad preach, but you're like, yeah. But then it had to get personal with me at some point. It had to really change my heart, because otherwise there's so many people who think that they, you know, they kind of get that emotional feeling and, oh yeah, hey, I'm a believer. You know, it's like, but you're not. You know, it's like you're not, if your life hasn't changed, if you don't have fruits of the Spirit, then it doesn't matter. You know, so I found my dad almost like at that point, hearing those messages changed my strength in the Lord. It's like, so I'd say originally it was the fear almost. And then I realized the love that the Lord had for me, and the grace that he had for me, and the fact that he died for me. And my whole life, that's what I feel. You know, it's like last time thing I heard, someone died for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. When I think of his last day, I didn't realize until I saw that movie.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, now I really have to feel it. Like, I knew it. I saw it. I heard it. I read it. But when you visually see something.
Yes.
And like the flesh is just coming off, right? Yeah. Oh, man. You just, it's like you could cry all over again.
It is amazing. And then you know when the Lord needs to speak to you in a certain way. He needs to, some people need to hear flip or fry. Some people need to hear Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.
Yes.
You know, it depends, but the Lord knows that.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
He knows us.
And I notice that too, even now when I'm witnessing somebody, it's not our job to lead them to Christ. It's our job to share our faith.
Yeah.
Maybe we're the seed planter, maybe we're the harvester, who knows? But, you know?
Yeah.
I think about the physical and the mental torment that our Savior went through. Mm-hmm. But I also think about carrying the load of sin.
Yes.
Scripture says the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I know how bad I've been and what's going on in my heart sometimes. In fact, one of your dad's favorite phrases is, if you knew what was in the heart of the person sitting next to you, you'd get up and move.
Oh.
But he carried that as well. Mm-hmm. To me, it builds into my heart such a sense of gratitude for what's been done for us.
And it gives you the ability to share with others too.
Right. Mm. Right.
You know.
Jim, what would you say solidified your faith on a personal level?
Well, I was raised in a Christian home and very active in Christian service. And my parents modeled what it means to to have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to manifest the love of God to others around you. And they were used in such a huge way to build in my heart, first of all, to make me aware of the fact that I was a sinner and needed a Savior, but also that urgency that we have as believers to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, I remember, we talked about this earlier, Matt, I think it was Luis Palau that said this. I don't know if it was unique to him, but he says the greatest instrument for social change, we hear a lot of talk about that today, but the greatest instrument for social change is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you address the deepest heart need that we all have, and that is fellowship and union with God.
Yeah. If you could give one message right now to a listener who just tuned in by accident, non-believer, what would you say?
I would say, first of all, you know, get into Scripture. It is the greatest, most tested written work in all of history. And secondly, reach out to the Lord, if you're not a believer yet, and just say, God, if you're real, make yourself known to me.
Yes.
And I would start with those two things.
So good. Matt, what do you hope longtime listeners feel when they tune in today? What do you want them to feel?
I would say the ministry of HFT will never compromise on God's word. That's the most important thing. And we won't ever sacrifice biblical teaching on the altar of popular trends, because my dad always believed the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. We don't do, you know, we're built up in faith. I want them to grow in their understanding of the Scriptures. You know, that's what my dad always preached. He often said that it's our sincere desire and prayer that the ministry of Hope for Today, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, will powerfully affect the lives of listeners, and that through the application of these biblical truths, listeners will find wisdom, peace, and much joy.
Yeah.
We want our listeners to sense and experience the sweetness of the family of God. Right. We're growing in faith together, and we're encouraging each other in these difficult days.
Yeah, Proverbs 3:17. I love this, man. And Matt, we're iron sharpening iron, aren't we?
Yes.
The two of us. He was the pastor's kid. I was the deacon's kid.
I love this, yes.
God uses us. But I love it. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of a friend. And if I could do one more, 1 Corinthians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do.
Yeah, because we value prayer. We want listeners to join us in prayer, that holding each other up in prayer. We cherish our listening family. And if they call, every day we go to prayer at 10:30, usually. Like, we'll go 10:30, maybe 11, maybe 10 o'clock. But if we get a prayer, we have, and sometimes people go, do you really pray for us? Do you really pray? A lot of times we'll put them on speaker and go, ready? Yeah, they're like, well, seriously?
Yes.
You know, and you realize that people, it is about the prayer. The prayer does change. Prayer does change people, you know?
It does.
I walked in here one day, and it was, I think it was this past September, my dad had fallen in his home. He'd been on the floor for 8 hours before he was found. He lived outside the area. And I came in a couple weeks after that, and within seconds, Beth in your office and a couple of the volunteers and Matt had me surrounded and say, we're going to pray for you.
Yeah. I had a listener call in. He was talking about some order. I don't even remember what it was, but it wasn't at all about anything he wanted. He wanted prayer. Found out he was blind. He was an old veteran living, doesn't see his kids anymore. So he has a maid who he thinks is stealing from him and all this sort of stuff. Because he goes, I don't see or talk to anybody. I live in an RV park in Arizona. I just come up, open my front door, and I can't even see anything. I just listen. And he was so depressed. And we talked for hours. And I prayed with him. I thought, man, this guy's hurting, really hurting. Mm. And what do I complain about during the day? You know what I mean? It's amazing how sobering that is.
Right.
I think we want listeners, of course, to cherish the Word of God. The Word of God is what changes hearts and lives. The Word of God is effective for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But we also want them to know that as they get into the Word of God, as that changes their lives, they're going to be under attack, and they're going to be struggling with real life issues. We hear all sorts of stories from our listening family. And prayer is an essential companion to the study of Scripture.
It brings peace, purpose, and power.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
for living.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen. It really does. That's our way of communicating with God.
And every problem and struggle that I've had in my walk with God reflects a lack of trust in Him, or a lack of understanding or believing.
Of God's character.
Exactly. The explicit character, yeah.
Yeah. And your dad shared that. I can't even remember the message. I've done this 30 years. Or how many messages have I edited? But yeah, he shared that. Every problem that your dad said he had faced was reflective of a lack of understanding God's character, who he is.
Yeah, and how about the Bible? He goes, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book.
We have some wonderful, phrases from David. One of my favorites is that book that you're holding. It's a wonderful, speaking of the Bible, it's a wonderful commentary for all the books on your shelf.
Yeah.
He's written a lot of books, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that right now your radio sermons is basically God's attributes.
Right.
That's cool. When you're building a relationship, you have to know who that person is.
Yeah.
So knowing the attributes of God.
Right. And the fruits of the Spirit, you know, showing those fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how you can tell other believers too by the fruits.
So
you know?
Real.
I would say one of the things that David has taught me and some other great speakers as well, but pray your way through the day. And if you meet somebody and they have a pressing need, something that's just tugging at their heart and weighing them down, and you say, I'll pray for them, by all means, do pray for them.
Yes.
And if possible, pray for them right there, because at least you know, you've done that, and it means so much. But
it makes a difference.
And this is something that we were talking earlier here, something I've learned over the years, pray your way through the day.
Mm-hmm.
So an issue comes up, don't wait for the end of the day to do the evening dump, you know, where you're just dumping everything on God. But something comes up, and just stop and pray.
That's so funny, because yesterday that actually happened. My friend and I went out to dinner, and she and I were talking to the server, and she's like, I'm looking for a new church. Anyways, long story short, we get back into the car to go back to church, and she's like talking about, man, that lady was so amazing. Like, good job inviting her out to church. And I was like, yeah, we really should pray on that. We should pray for her. We really need to pray for her. And she goes, all right. Go ahead. I was like,
awesome. I love it. I love it.
I was like, maybe we could go back to the church and pray for her. Like, you know, and I realized in that moment, like, I do that sometimes too, because I actually call people up. I'm like, are you going to pray for real? Or are you just going to say, oh, I'm praying for you.
Right.
Like, are you really praying for me? Or are you just saying that as a blanket statement? Right. So.
Yeah. And you can't have a buddy of mine, he's the Caleb to my Jonathan, and we talk in the middle of the night a lot of times, and he'll just go, okay, I'm gonna pray us out, or you pray us out. Yeah. That's always the end of our conversation.
Yes, I love that.
Pray us out.
That's what my pastor does. Yeah.
And that's where, to me, is like, it's where the Holy Spirit works.
Yes.
It's when we're the one thing that the Lord desires is our fellowship with Him,
mm-hmm.
and then it shows in other believers. You know, during COVID, I remember taking my son. Brand new year, fourth grade, his teacher comes out, mask on, I'm in the mask on in the car, hands mm-hmm. the books, and I just look, and we drove away, and I go, your teacher's a believer. And we talked later, and sure enough, she was, and she's like, I knew the same about you. And Brock had come up, and she goes, hey, Brock, is your papa David? You know? And she goes, I listen to him every morning on the radio. And she said, she was just, it was just interesting, and so every year she helps. It was amazing the way she shares the gospel, the way she does it, you know.
Yeah.
I think you can pray with non-believers too.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometime a year or two ago, I was had taken my wife's car to the dealer for service. I'm a good husband. Sometimes.
We'll talk to your wife about that.
Yeah, 40 years next month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
40 wonderful years. 52 altogether, but 40 more wonderful.
we got married when I was 5. She was 3. But yeah, so while I'm waiting for the car to be serviced, I go out in a lot and look at all the cars I can't afford, right? And the salesman comes up and I tell him, I'm just looking, but he said, oh, I don't mind talking to you. And he says, how are you doing today? And I said, one of my favorite responses is I try to come up with something that kind of makes people think or prompts a thought. And he said, how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm alive and kicking by God's grace. And he goes, oh, and I said, by grace of Jesus. And he goes, oh, I love Jesus too. And my heart soars. I think I'm talking to a believer. I'm not. I'm talking to a Muslim. And I just thought, well, how do I bless him? How do I? And so he says, well, I think we're all just going to the same God. And I just hope that I do enough good to make God happy.
Mm.
And I said, that's interesting. And it's good to listen. I said, my scriptures teach me that I can't do enough good. It's not about what I try to do, but it's about the one perfect deed done by the one perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying on a cross and coming back to life, rising again from the dead. And because of that, I have confidence that I'll be with Him. And he says, oh, that's interesting. And about that time, a real customer comes by and he must leave. And I said, well, first, before you go, can I pray with you? And I said, God, help. I can't remember his name, but help him to have a good day and help him to know how much you love him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And you plant that seed, and you hope, I hope I see him someday in heaven, you know?
Yeah.
So, Yeah. But that was so just, good. That was fun. That was.
Why do you think straightforward Bible teaching, like you mentioned earlier, the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. So why do you think straightforward Bible teaching is still so important right now?
I think it's the only way, the only way that we're going to be able to communicate with anybody, really, or do what the Lord wants us to do or say what the Lord wants us to say is through his word. That's what it's the instruction book for life.
All the answers.
You know, and when you say important right now, you know, what has changed in today's world? Like technology, geopolitics, cultures, they've all changed, providing new and expanded avenues for evil. But we have exciting opportunities to shine the light of the gospel in the darkness. Everything's so accessible now. Mm-hmm. I see with my son, you know, you go online, you can just grab whatever you want to grab. Yeah. Right then, you know, it's different. And I really believe it's harder and easier at the same time to be a believer. Mm-hmm. We have access to stuff. Do we take advantage of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have access to stuff. Do we take advantage of it?
And I mean,
both sides, yeah. Right? Right. And, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, what are we filling our minds with? And that's why it's really important to have Bible teaching. Everybody can say, I think or I feel. But unless you're doing scripture, let the Holy Spirit work.
I kind of share that quote from you. We talked about this earlier that your dad has in the foreword of.
Yeah.
This is from David's book, Is Life Worth Living?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly a lot of young people today, we hear all kinds of stories about young people, just their hearts are broken and savaged by the culture of the day. David says, contemporary culture has lost its way. We have rejected, or at least neglected, the moral and spiritual values of the Bible. And in our secularism, we have replaced God with ourselves and seem to believe that something is right or wrong, depending on how the majority of people feel about it. Nothing could be further from the truth. Right and wrong is determined by God and his authority. We don't make up the rules. He does. King Solomon wrote these words in Proverbs 14:33, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Yeah, I would love to do something really special with your permission here.
Yeah.
So I have a copy of Is Life Worth Living because you guys just gave me one.
Yeah.
For our listeners, I'm wondering if you guys would be open to doing a giveaway on this right now.
Sure.
So if you're listening, you're tuning in right now, we're sitting down with Pastor David Hawking's son, Matt Hawking, from Hope for Today, and the longtime announcer, Jim Durbin. We want to give away a copy of Is Life Worth Living by David Hawking. So if you want a copy, you can't call us right now. But what you can do is you can email us by going to our website, kbrightradio.com, and click on the Contact Us page. Fill out the information, and we would love to send you a copy. Anything that you would like to share?
I was just thinking, you know, we were talking about this in recent weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Technology has expanded so many opportunities for Christian ministry, but it's also been used in negative ways. Mm-hmm. I had a client ask me years ago, should I be on the internet? Because there was so much garbage out there. And I said, it's precisely because the darkness is so prevalent out there that we need to shine the light.
Yes.
Through every opportunity. I would start with radio, but also go online as well.
Yeah. You know, I told my son, I remember telling him one time, I said, you know, the internet is like going to a grocery store.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go in there and you can buy beer, you can buy liquor, you can buy gum, you can buy a dirty magazine, you can buy, you know, an apple. You know, I go, your choice. You know, I go, you make the right choice. Mm. And that's the most important thing I think about life. You know, we have access to that stuff, but it's whether or not you want to grab that.
Yeah.
And you're going to be affected by it because that's a huge, huge issue. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to stand for nothing, fall for anything.
Mm.
You
that's
know, and,
good.
And that's what
yeah.
I, you know, yeah.
Oof, yeah. Man.
I think there is so much deception out there too. You know, I think one of Satan's favorite deceptions is the notion that all paths lead to God.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that doesn't pass any test of logic.
Right.
But also, we know who God is.
Yes.
We know the source of truth. We, by all means, we should be out there proclaiming it, not hitting people over the head with it, but not backing away from an opportunity.
I hate that, though, all paths. You know, I like what somebody said one time. They said, well, if I give you a map to my house,
yeah.
you can take whatever freeway you want to get, but if you don't take the one and you can go to the street, you're not getting to my house. You know, I'm sorry, but all paths do not lead to my house either. You know, if you go on the 55 freeway heading out there, mm-hmm. you ain't coming.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna show up on time. Let me tell you. You know? And yeah. I love that analogy because it's like, like, yeah, there's only one way.
I think it's
one
also,
God and one mediator.
I think it's also true that part of Satan's strategy is to mix a little bit of truth with a lot of fiction.
Oh, for sure.
And of course, that started in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? You know, and he deceived Eve. He deceived Eve with a little bit of truth. When they ate the fruit, would they be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil? Yes. Would they be like God, having his power, perfection, and holiness? No. But they bought the lie.
Yeah.
And he must make us inoperable. Right. I know you lost us.
Yeah, marginalize us. Yep.
Matt, for listeners who have been hearing your dad teach for many years now, what has this season been like for you personally? And I guess as you've stepped into a larger role with Hope for today.
Knowing for me, it's more of a subservient role. It doesn't matter what we do. And, you know, it's funny because learning from my dad, both my uncle who has a Grace Bible Mission in Africa, it's funny because my dad took everything, every little penny that he got, he put it right back in the ministry. The books that he wrote, he put that money back. It's kind of unheard of. But the reason why is because his mission was the same. We all have one job to do, and it's at the end of the book of Matthew, the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've learned the most about it, is that it's not about me. It's about getting these messages that are God's word. That's all they are. They're not topical. They're not like, they're living word by the living God. My dad's statement, the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do, you know? And I've learned that that is so vitally important for a hurting world, is to get the gospel out there. So we have all these messages. Now, what do we do with them? Mm-hmm. We get them out to the world. We teach PT about, and that for personally, I've learned to strengthen my faith as I see these people coming into the Lord. Every day I see people coming in, calling in. I run into people, they say, it was because of this ministry that I gave my heart to the Lord.
Yes.
It's because of me. I mean, Jack Hibbs, for example, his whole ministry, you know, he used to come to my dad, he asked him, you know, hey, teach me how to study the Bible. My dad said, no. And he goes, you can come here and learn. And Jack will tell you the story too. And Jack,
that's so funny.
And Jack did, and he learned. And I remember him saying one thing, he said, you know, I'm a coastal guy, man. You know, Lord's calling me a Chino. And my dad just looked at him, lowered his glasses, looked at him, goes, Lord's calling you Chino, you go to Chino. That's it. You know, and I love, I mean, look at Jack's, you know, it's amazing. You know, the Lord, because it's not about us. It's not, we're not the main characters, you know. If we don't want to be used, someone's going to be up. You know, if Lord may say, hey, you're scrubbing toilets, you know, but we're not about profit. We're not about anything. We're about getting the gospel out there.
Yeah.
And my dad was the same way. You know, I got to honor that legacy. I got to honor the fact that we're, you know, it's not about my dad. It's not about anybody. It's about the Bible getting out there to people.
Yeah.
There are people who are right next to us who are going to burn, and we need to witness to them. We need to tell them about Jesus.
Preach the word.
That's it. Yeah. We have one job.
One job to do, the Great Commission.
Yep. There is so much pressure to compromise, and because we're surrounded by evangelical circles because of what we do in ministry. And it is essential that we stick with the word of God. You divert from that and you will fall into error.
Yeah. With a few minutes left, Jim, you've been the voice introducing the program for over 20 years. What has made Hope for Today connect so deeply with listeners all these years?
Yeah, I believe that there's a demonstrated desire for the faithful teaching of God's word. Compromises are always misleading and typically tragic. Our listeners, and we love our listeners, but what a great group they are. They are wide open barn doors for the teaching of the gospel. They have a hunger for the faithful teaching of God's word. You know, it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, my dad, we moved him into the Orange County area recently, and he's been looking for a church. And he went to this church. I won't name the church, but he came home. We talked that Sunday afternoon, and he says, you know something? The pastor didn't cite one single scripture verse or mention a single scripture passage.
No.
And I said, Dad, are you going back? And he says, no.
Wow.
No. I believe that there's a growing number of those in the church today who earnestly desire a deep and thorough understanding of scripture. And that's what Hope for Today is all about. The truth is under attack, and believers want to be prepared, but they also want to share the truth and love, the love of Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that is also very much a part of the heart and passion of Hope for Today.
Keep your eyes on him.
Keep your eyes on him.
100%. Yeah, don't look to, you know, I mean, it's a blessing to be able to serve the Lord, you know, but I think you can't look to us. You always have to look to the Lord, you know, because my dad said, don't look at me, I'll ruin you, you know. And you realize that, you know, hey, I'm the worst student in this room. I'm pretty positive of it, actually, you know. And so, you know, but it's not about, you know, that, you know. If the Lord calls me to clean toilets tomorrow, hey, let's do it. Let's do it to get the gospel out there. Here am I. Send me, you know. I'll go to Nineveh and have a good attitude when we get there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, no rest for the declared righteous, right?
Well, it's funny, too. One of the things your dad has taught over the years in teaching the Old Testament and the New Testament is bringing to life those stories that help us realize, amen, you know, we could look at somebody like Jonah and say, oh, what was his problem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he should have just gone to Nineveh. I'm thinking like, you know, that could have been me.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you both look ahead, what are you most excited about for the future of Hope for Today and the people who listen every day?
Utilizing the new and emerging technologies, for sure.
Yes.
That's the big, I mean, how many, with social media, I think it's up to 70 billion a day views. You know, those.
It's a crazy number, yeah.
Yeah, that's a one large mission field.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because everyone's so, you know, everybody just... I mean, kind of ADHD, kind of all the way around, you know, really, and let's face
it. Well,
doom
scrolling is a thing, so that doesn't help our brain cells.
my goal was always to, like, I want somebody to hear my dad and either two reactions, either who's this Yahoo or this guy really knows the scripture.
Yes.
Because that's going to get them to listen to the whole message.
Yes.
And the main thing is to get people saved. And how are we going to do that? We have to change with technology, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the old way of doing things doesn't work. Well, let's move it on to something else.
Is there something we can look forward to that in regards to what
maybe
you're sharing? Because I'm feeling like... You are working on something, uh-huh, and yeah, this is not inside scoop. I know nothing,
okay.
But I do. But I do feel like there's something you're working on.
Yes,
and you don't have to share.
I don't mind. Yeah,
but okay, I would love to hear it then.
Well, yeah, we're working on these short videos.
Yeah, it's a minute in the word with David Hawking.
Minute in the word.
We have the audio version of that out now.
Yeah,
there's 60-second features, clips of David's messages.
Yeah. Right, because those videos are, I mean, you think about how much, what do we watch? You know, what do we watch? When you know, anytime we have our cell phone, we flip it open, you have 30 seconds tops. You don't get them right away.
You're
not
scrolling them. You were talking about.
And we want them to like I said, my dad was very powerful when he spoke. You know, like, I mean, everybody always said, he's like pointing the finger at me, you know, hey, you changed your life, you know.
I'm talking and that's, to you.
And you realize you take those and you really, to me, I want to use any avenue that the Lord opens up to spread the good gospel.
Yeah.
But I think we could fret about the current generation. Even you probably scrolled a few times. I have too.
No.
We could fret about that. now, Matt. Now, we could fret about that, but or we could say, you know something, it is what it is, and we're going to do what we can to reach the scrollers, if you will, the short form.
Yeah, and also teaching those to strengthen their faith, learn how to witness to others.
Yeah.
You know, using the Ten Commandments, using whatever you want to use, but get it into the people so they know that everybody has to be witnessing, man. We're any day we could be called home.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to know that one day when I go and the Lord looks at me and goes, what have you done with my son? You know what I mean? I want to be able to say that I've done everything possible, you know? Because we all know that in the past we haven't, you know? And it's like what we could do.
But, I'd like to say, too, that a lot of what we're doing and what we're looking forward to in the future is based on that solid foundation of Christian radio. Mm. That is so much the heart and soul and the passion of what we do is outreach through radio. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll always, until God takes us home, that's going to be a part of what we do. And it gives us that wonderful launching point to take the word of God, the teaching that David does to other venues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see people, when they write in, you realize how many people listen to radio still. You know, there's a lot of people.
Yep.
A lot. And it's like people don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a very, very... I mean, we have people coming to Christ all the time saying, hey, I was listening to KBRT, and I gave my heart to the Lord because I was working.
Amen.
And, I had it on. It's true. It's just true. We get these messages back, and we have them put radio station.
Yeah.
KBRT is the number one thing back all the time. It just is. You know?
Oh, it has been such a joy to pull back the curtain and share this time with the men who help bring Hope for Today to life. Matt, Jim, thank you for the heart you put into this ministry and for reminding us today that no matter the season, there is always a reason for hope. For nearly 70 years, David Hawking has served as a pillar of biblical teaching, known for his uncompromising stewardship of the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible.
Amen.
He brings profound scholarly depth to his ministry with a master of divinity and background in Greek and ancient history. Hawking masterfully blends academic rigor with a lifelong passion for the gospel. For those of you listening, make sure to set your reminders for 10:30 a.m. every weekday morning right here on KBright Radio. That's AM 740. If you want to reach out to Hope for Today directly, you can call them at 1-800-75-BIBLE. That's 752-4253. Or mail them at their P.O. Box. That's Hope for Today, P.O. Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. Don't worry, all this information is at kbrightradio.com/hopefortoday. For more information there directly, you can go to davidhawking.org. Coming up next is Hope for Today with David Hawking.
This has been In the Studio, a public affairs presentation of the Crawford Media Group. Please email us your comments, suggestions, and ideas to publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com. Again, that's publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com.